Today, I'd like to talk to you from the Gospel of Mark, chapter 10, and verses 46 through 52. Many of you are familiar with Jesus' ministry and how he looked about and saw the need of the people where he lived, where he ministered, where he traveled, and he healed them out of compassion and mercy. And today, I'd like to take you through this portion of Scripture because there's a lot in it. I don't want to read more into it than what I can see, but I can see quite a lot. And they came to Jericho, and as he went out of Jericho with his disciples and a great number of people, blind Bartimaeus, the son of Timaeus, sat by the highway side begging. I want to stop there because this road was between Jerusalem and Jericho. And Bartimaeus, it's interesting the name that he had because there was this thing back in Bible times where if people had sickness, disease, or infirmities, they were accused of being in sin. And Bartimaeus means the son of uncleanness. But Timaeus was the one who was highly favored. And I thought about just stopping there and thinking about when we name our children. We decide what we're going to name our children. And those words have special meaning. But to be named the one who's unclean, that really sets in my spirit like, why would he call him that? And the reason is being is what I had just said, because people think that if you're in sin, sickness, and disease, it's God's judgment against you. And we know that's absolutely not true because Satan comes to kill, steal, and to destroy. John 10:10. But nevertheless, here he is begging. And I brought this little thing from India because I would like to illustrate the happy ending in this, if I might. The thing about the beggar's garment is it was like a cloak. And if you were blind, you could sit and hold a garment maybe like this so that anyone who put coins out there for you could put them in your cloak or your garment. And also, a garment or a cloak represented a lifestyle or a profession. But it was kind to the beggars because they wouldn't have to grovel around trying to find the coins if anyone were to give them something. And I was thinking about, having just come back from India, about the what we go there to see. Our eyes observe poverty like you wouldn't believe, but to them, that's everyday life. It's perfectly normal. And they don't think like we think. But for a blind man, can you imagine what that was like getting up every morning and having to be taken out, sat in your favorite spot where the people are walking by? And that's what you did from daybreak to sunset every day. That was your living. That was your lifestyle. So just be thinking about this. In verse 47, and when he heard that it was Jesus of Nazareth, I wonder how he knew that. He was blind. There's no indication that he ever saw. But and he heard that it was Jesus passing by. I wonder what he heard. You know, we talked earlier about the importance of our words. He began to cry out. What was there about this man Jesus that he had never seen with his natural eyes that he began to cry out to him? I wonder if maybe there might have been a thought in his mind that I don't know if he'll come by this way again or not, but I'm not going to miss my chance. I've heard about this guy, Jesus. I've heard about how he healed all manner of sickness and disease. I've heard about how he healed blind people. And I can't even begin to imagine the joy in his heart at the possibility that it could be for him today. And he began to cry out and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. See, he really knew that Jesus was the promised Messiah because he called him son of David. He knew that the Messiah would come through the lineage of David. So he had some knowledge. He wasn't a stupid man. And he wasn't blind because he wanted to be. And many charged him that he should hold his peace. What an awful thing to tell somebody. Shut up. Don't take this Jesus stuff too far. Cool it. Don't bother him. We're just passing through. We'll be gone in a few minutes, so just be still. Oh, but look at what happened. When they tried to shut him up, he hollered all the more. And he cried out, Lord, have mercy on me. You see, he knew the truth, that Jesus came to bring mercy and not death and judgment. And nobody could do the things that Jesus did. And Jesus stood still. Sometimes we think that he doesn't have time for us. He's busy. He doesn't have time for my problems. But we say that out of not really knowing who he is. And then look at, there's a change in the crowd. Just like the ones that were crying, Hosanna, Hosanna, blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord. And it weren't long after that, and the same crowd was screaming, crucify him, crucify him. Crowds are easily manipulated. They're easily motivated. But when Jesus stopped, he commanded that Bartimaeus be brought to him. And all of a sudden, the crowd... And they called the blind man, saying unto him, be of good comfort. He calls for you. One minute they wanted to shut him up, and the next minute when Jesus spoke, they all came into agreement. Oh, he's calling for you. Come on. Be of good comfort. He calls you. And the next line, said he cast off that garment and came to Jesus. Now what's really neat about this part of the story is he didn't wait until Jesus did anything except to call him. He didn't wait for any follow-up ministry. We have the written account. We can jump ahead with our eyes and see what's about to happen. But the fact that he knew who Jesus is and was at that time, what he was capable of doing, and he knew that he would never be a blind beggar again. And that's why he pitched that garment off. Even before Jesus did anything or said anything else to him, he threw that garment away because it represented the old man. It represented the old life. It represented his blindness. And he knew that once he had that encounter with Jesus, his life would never be the same again. And I'm talking on a parallel here, okay? We were blind, and we didn't see either. And our clothes represented our trade, our profession. The old life had characteristics all of its own. But when we came to Jesus, cast it off, because it's no longer going to be the new you. And Jesus answered in verse 51 and said unto him, what will you do that I what will thou that I should do to you? In other words, what would you like me to do for you? The blind man said unto him, Lord, that I might receive my sight. His physical eyesight. He already knew who Jesus was. It was very clear from what he spoke. And Jesus said unto him, go your way, your faith has made you whole. And follow Jesus in the way. This is a really good picture of salvation. You know, Jesus passes by the Spirit in Christians all the time. We carry his presence. We carry his message. Everywhere we go, that's within each one of us as a born-again believer. And sometimes people think we're pretty strange. I thought the same when some of my friends became believers. But the fact of the matter is, before we're saved, we're blind. And we don't see him. We don't know who he is. We know about him, maybe, but we don't know what he's capable of doing. But when he threw that garment off, boy, to me, that just shouted, I no longer wanted to be a drug addict. I no longer wanted to be addicted to alcohol. I no longer wanted to be a party animal and be like an animal, banging drums so loud that it drove people into a crazy frenzy with all the demonic rock and roll I used to play. I suddenly knew, that's gone. There'll be no more of that in my life. And for whatever you're here for today, if there's still something clinging on your shoulders that's part of your past, you need to fling it and let it go. I don't know who I'm talking to today, but I knew this was burning in my spirit like fire yesterday. Sometimes I think like we're preaching to the choir, but there are needs in our lives that aren't always having to do with salvation. It can be things in your past. You know you should let them go, but you haven't. And today you need to, because we got a new year coming. Will you continue to carry things tomorrow that you're still carrying today when you could have got rid of them yesterday? It's amazing how many people I know that still live based on what happened to them in the past. And they still let it hold them back. There is such a wonderful way forward. You know, I like the way this is worded. And he followed Jesus in the way. Do you remember what Jesus said in John 14:6? I am the way, not one of many. I am the truth, not relative. I am the way, the truth, and the life, singular. It's all in him. And the first thing Bartimaeus wanted to do, as a man who had just received his sight, he wanted to follow Jesus. And I don't know any other place that follows his life after that, but I imagine he was so convinced that Jesus was the Messiah that he followed him all the way to the cross and beyond. Because once we know who he is, once we know the hope he gives us, once we know the joy that he gives us, once we know that we have a future, like one of the songs we sang today, because I know he holds my future and he holds your future. You'll never want to go back to putting that garment back on, because now you're free. You're free. And whoever hears this on the internet, there may be people that we've never met that listen to what we record here. And my prayer is that they may be people that will never see their face in this life. But I know, because we have a counter and we know which messages people are listening to. And we can pray together for that and thank God for that, that we do. Because this fellowship is a lot bigger than we could ever put in this building. And so each time that we may feel like we're preaching to the choir, no, there's a larger audience. There's a family that just outside of London that listens. They can't get it until tonight. But they listen. There's people in India. There's people in the Philippines. and untold numbers of people. So we got to think bigger than just we four and no more kind of thinking. But think about that garment and think about the new life with endless possibilities for Bartimaeus. I see people begging in India. Just, we see them, homeless people in our own country. And just think how much the Lord would love to do something for them if they would just see Jesus passing by in one of us as a believer, and the hope that they could have. Because the gospel offers hope. Never really had a lot of hope. I kind of thought it was for somebody else. But it's for all who will call upon his name. Let's pray. Father, I thank you. This isn't a long message. It's not a big, deep subject. But Father, each one of us knows if we would just take a few minutes and just examine our lives before we knew you, what that was like. And suddenly, the Holy Spirit gave us a revelation, an understanding, something that went beyond our natural knowledge. And suddenly, a new life was birthed within us. The chains were broken and gone. The shackles were broken and gone. Bondages, habits, addictions, broken off our lives in an instant. And now, Father, we know. And I thank you that there are multitudes of accounts in the scriptures of how Jesus stopped and he took the time for the one, just as much as he took time for the crowds and the multitudes. Some followed him for the right reasons, and some just wanted to see another magic trick in their thinking. But Father, for the ones that were serious, the hope that you give each one of us, and even now that we're saved, we have a hope, and our hope is in you. There are a lot of things we yearn to see and experience while we're still here. And we're so thankful. Before we were blind, but now we can see. And Father, thank you for reminding us of the value of who you are and our value to you as you see us. Jesus considers us pearls of great price. And so, Father, if there's anyone in here today in this room that's looked down on their lives, thinking that not too many people love them or care about them, I thank you, Father, that you do. You love them with an unending love. And your love never fails. It never gives up. And Father, today, as we soon close out our morning gathering, I want to thank you for the Holy Spirit that takes these words and does something powerful with them. That we will take these today and see if there might be any garments moth-eaten, laying in our closet on a coat hanger somewhere, that we need to throw it out and get rid of it. In Jesus' name, amen.